this week on the Time Bat Show. And the best thing about it is if you squeezed it, it had a voice box. And so you could squeeze it and let go. And as you let go, it would make the most horrific sound that I'll try to emulate right now. It's like... Everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 58, the special Earth Day episode here on the Time Bat Show, because Earth is doing some stuff this week.
Yeah. It's not actually Earth Day, but no, it's it is not. For today us it is. On the Time Bat Show.
For me and you, it is.
Yeah.
Because Earth is doing some stuff, especially in North America. There's some Earth news out there. first of all, the eclipse happened on Monday.
Yes, there was a total solar eclipse across the United States and 22 states.
And you went to, like, the middle of it.
Yeah, so back on the show a while back, I was kind of joking around about, you know, maybe we should go on a spirit voyage to South Carolina and the Path of Totality.
Right.
And, like, meet some hippies and... Mm-hmm.
And you did that.
Yeah. I got to thinking, like, it was Sunday, it's at like 6 p.m., and I was just sitting in my apartment eating, like, a chicken pot pie and thinking, you know what? This is boring. I hate this.
I love the picture you've painted us.
You're That's like, really what was happening.
You're eating this chicken pot pie on a Sunday night in your apartment alone.
And I was thinking, I hate this.
And so what did you do?
Time to go on an adventure. So I opened up the old Google Maps, and I turned on the satellite view so you can see, like, the land. And then I pulled up NASA, and I looked at where the exact Path of Totality would be. Now, the easiest way to get to South Carolina from North Florida is taking Interstate 95.
Yeah, all the way up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I looked at where the totality passes Interstate 95. I figure I'll just get off the highway right at that point.
And that's where I'll
walk a little way, and I'll just camp out there.
There's the eclipse, yeah.
Yeah. So I just left and did that. And it only took me 3.5 hours to get there.
Really?
Not bad at all.
No, that's not bad. Did you leave Sunday night or Monday morning?
I left Sunday after I finished my chicken pot pie.
This is like a life decision, it sounds like. Yes. You're like, damn, this sugar pot pie.
I won't take it anymore. I'm getting out of here. Okay, it was really good, but anyway.
So you leave. So wait, was this chicken pot pie, did you make it, or was this like one of those microwavable things?
It was the... All right, so at the Fresh Market around here, they like make chicken pot pies. Oh, yeah.
So it was like a store made, like a grocery store made one. Okay.
It was like a deli chicken pot pie.
Anyway, yeah. So the chicken pot, sorry, I've got
that part of the story is important, I feel like.
All right, so you leave on Sunday night.
Drive 3.5 hours. I get there at about 10:30 p.m.
Okay.
And I decide that I don't want to get a hotel room because...
Whoa.
They're all sold out because I waited until the last minute.
Of course.
So I decided to camp.
Camp?
Outside.
Did you bring camping stuff?
I brought a tarp and a sleeping bag, yes.
Wow.
So the area that I scouted out was part of a wildlife preserve. It's called the Santee, South Carolina Nature Wildlife Preserve. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a campground there, which I was very fortunate.
Oh, so you didn't know that. You just lucky.
No, I didn't know that at the time. I was prepared to just, like, be a homeless man for the night.
Okay.
So I camped out.
Okay, wait, hold on, back up. Yeah. Where did you park?
I parked at a Red Roof Inn.
Oh, okay.
And then walked across a bridge into the wildlife preserve.
And camped out.
Yeah. I figured no one would tow me at the hotel because they would figure I was staying there.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. I don't know if I would be that courageous.
I mean, I would have stayed in a hotel, but there was... I mean, all the hotels were totally booked.
Yeah, I was just saying, I don't know if I'd be as courageous to be like, yeah, I'll just park in this place and hope they don't tow me. But good on you.
Yeah, I figured it out. No one towed me.
So anyway, you do that.
So it gets to be the morning, and
how did you sleep?
Not well. It was really hot.
Were there other people there?
Yeah, there were a lot. And there were a lot of families, too.
At the campground?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it was actually a pretty nice, like, area of people. I didn't feel unsafe.
That's good. Yeah. Anyway, so you wake up.
You wake up. Pretty much, like, starting at 8 a.m., the people at the campground started, like, blasting Woodstock music.
Of course they do.
So we've got, like, Jefferson Airplane and Jimi Hendrix and everything playing.
Sure. That makes sense. See, this is exactly what I was hoping for it to be. Yeah.
I heard High Flying Bird a few times that day.
Right. Yeah. See, this is exactly what I was hoping for.
And in the wildlife preserve, there's an Indian burial mound with a huge deck over it with, like, all the information cards that shows you who's all buried there.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I was going to watch the eclipse on top of the Indian burial mound.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, because it was like, raised above, and you could see out over everything.
Sounds like the beginning of a horror movie or something.
Yeah, it does.
When the eclipse goes over the Indian burial ground.
The path of totality was right over this mound. Wow. Like,
anyway, so you go over there.
I saw it, and we got 2.5 minutes of total darkness. We could see stars, and
wow.
I could see that halo of the sun type thing going
so
on.
So when that happens, you can look up at the sun and not get hurt, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's nuts.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I saw the thing on your camera phone you were recording.
Yeah, the phone didn't really capture what the sky actually looked like. It sort of captured the darkness of the area. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, like, the camera phone didn't see the halo and, yeah, like,
it was, like, blown out, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah, everybody's dog was freaking out, and, like, the animals started doing, like, the crickets came on, and the birds were chirping.
Because
like
they thought it was night.
Yeah.
Wow, that's nuts. Like, all of a sudden?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, it made me, like, really nervous for some reason, actually.
Wow.
Like, I knew it was, like, a normal astronomical phenomenon, but, yeah, like, the primitive man inside of me was, yeah, a little shook.
Still, you're like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. That's nuts.
It was fun.
I saw it at work, and it was just, like, it was okay. It was fine. Like, I liked it, but it was, we only got, like, 60, we only got, yeah, like, 60% here. So it's basically, like, me going downstairs, like, outside, and luckily there's a guy that had, like, eclipse glasses, and he, nice, like, let me borrow them. So I got to see it as full as it was where I was at, you know what I mean? Like, as full as it was gonna get, I saw it there. So it was, yeah, cool. It, you know, obviously didn't get to see what you got to see, so.
It was worth it. It's worth it. The only bad thing was that traffic was so bad coming back. It, mm-hmm, it took me about 10 hours to drive
Holy
back.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and that was real bad.
But it was worth it.
I had work the next day.
But it was worth it.
Yeah.
I wish I went with you, kind of.
Yeah, I was wishing that you would be there, yeah. Because it would have been really fun.
I don't know how it could have swung that, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I could have taken the time off, but it would have been weird because I would have had to, like, either drive to Florida first or, like, meet you in the middle somewhere, and then, like, yeah, we both drive up, so it would have took longer, you know? So yeah, it worked.
And I didn't plan it well at all. Like, again, that's I went from eating a chicken pot pie at 6 p.m. on a Sunday.
You're like, I'm not happy with my life right now. I'm going to have
some adventures.
I'm going to see the eclipse. That's so cool, though, that you could say you did that and,
yeah,
and all that. Okay, so my point, what I was about to say is I was looking up when the next eclipse is. Mm-hmm. It's in, like, 7 years, and okay, the band goes directly through Austin, Texas. Like, we get complete total eclipse.
Awesome.
So I will be able to see it without even actually going anywhere. So, yeah. So you should visit me then, and then we could see the eclipse.
I will.
Yes. But I don't want to do it in the city. I want to go to, like, a campground or something, you know, like a hippie.
Yeah, the camping, I mean, I wish it wasn't so hot outside and it was kind of buggy, but mm-hmm, the camping thing was sort of part of it, I feel.
I feel like that's optimal. Like, I don't want to watch the eclipse in the city. That seems, yeah, wrong. Anyway, that's so cool. I wish I was there, but I'm glad you got to see it. That's so super neat. So the hype was worth it. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's great. So that's Earth story number one.
We got some more news.
Which is a cool Earth story. Like, that's when Earth is doing some cool shit. Earth story number two is when Earth is being mean to you. Yes. So in a day or 2 days, there's a hurricane. There's a big bad hurricane coming up the Gulf that is going to smack into southeast Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I don't think Austin's going to be hit that hard, but it's probably going to flood a little, and we're going to get a lot of rain, and Houston's going to get smashed.
Yeah, I was hearing like 31 inches of rain in Houston.
Yeah, which is sucks because I have family there, and I hope they're all okay and everything.
Yeah. But,
like, that's going to be rough for their houses and stuff. Like, that's just shitty. And you know how hurricanes work because you live in Florida, and I lived in Florida all my life, so I know how hurricanes work too. So, like, we can kind of relate to that situation. It's weird. I was talking to someone at work today, and a lot of Texans, like Austin people, don't have any idea what a hurricane is. But this girl's from Houston, so, like, you're kind of on the same page because people in Houston get hurricanes pretty frequently too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if you live in Florida, if you live in Georgia, if you live in like Louisiana, and if you live in like Houston, Corpus Christi, Texas, you know what a hurricane entails. But everyone else in the country is just like, I don't know what a hurricane
freaking
is.
Out.
Yeah, like when a hurricane hit in New York a few years back, like no one knew what the hell to do because it's never happened before.
Yeah, but hurricanes, you know, are actually they're super easy to prepare for if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but there's a few places in the United States, Florida, Georgia, probably like Mississippi, Louisiana, the Gulf, and then like the part of Southeast Texas that gets them that like know that like okay. I know what to do with a hurricane, but it's still scary because this one's like a tropical storm and it's gonna like become a hurricane. But the danger with those is that they like stall out and they just sit on you for a while, and just like rain.
That storm too, it was supposed to already be dead. This is one that sort of came back after it had already petered out a bunch.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any really bad hurricane stories growing up in Florida?
Not bad ones. Usually the hurricanes around here, they don't flood too bad unless you're, like, right on the coast.
Yeah.
Flooding is, like, extremely dangerous, obviously. But, if you don't have to worry about flooding, then hurricanes are really no big deal. Just fill up your bathtub with water and be prepared to not have electricity.
We have, we have parties in Florida, hurricane parties. I remember that pretty frequently. But... I don't know. I don't wonder if they'll do that in Houston. Probably not. It's probably too scary.
Yeah.
But I just remember, like, the worst hurricane I experienced as a kid was, like, it didn't even do a lot of damage because we didn't evacuate, but it killed the power and, like, flooded, like, not my house, but, like, the streets and stuff for a while. So, like, power was out for, like, a week and a half.
And was that Floyd?
I think it was Floyd.
Yeah.
It was just awful. Like, it didn't do a hell of a lot of damage, but it... ruined like your 2 weeks, your next 2 weeks. It's just like, well, all the things I was going to do this 2 weeks is shot because I'm at home with like a battery powered fan because you have no power. I mean,
it's kind of cool for like a day.
For like
wow, look at all these trees that are knocked over.
There's we have no power. We can play cards all day.
It's like an adventure.
It's so cool. And then like day two, you're like, this is dumb.
This is stupid.
I feel like I'm like that with a lot of things, though.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine, like, like, if this happened, like, it would be kind of cool for a little while. And then, you'd hit the wall where you're like, this isn't really cool anymore. Yeah. I do remember one year there was a hurricane and we had to evacuate. And we went to some, like, motel in, like, northeast Florida or something. Or northwest Florida or something. I don't remember. But anyway, I mean, I've lived through a lot of hurricanes. I'm not dead yet. So.
The most recent one for me, I don't remember the name, but it was like a year or something ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, it wasn't that bad at all.
Yeah. I remember in college, one year in college, like 2007 or something, I want to say, maybe 2008, we had like two hurricanes go up the Florida coastline. And the first one... they canceled class at my college for, like, 3 or 4 days, like, to make sure, as they do, they like, don't want people going out. So they canceled class for 3 or 4 days. They're like, stay inside. It wasn't evacuate, but, like, stay inside, don't go out. And what ended up happening was the hurricane, like, skirted the coast and then kind of jumped off a little. So, like, we got, like, the end band, but we didn't really get, like, the eye. So, yeah. We got a lot of wind, but it wasn't that big of a deal. We probably could have gone to class, but whatever. Class was canceled. Literally, like, 2, maybe 3 weeks later, another hurricane appears. And it comes up the coast the same way. This one, like, peters out a little bit and becomes a tropical storm. But it does that, like, right as it passes over us. Yeah. And at this point, the school can't cancel any more class because they've canceled too much. So they're just like, oh, it's only a tropical storm, guys. Just deal with it. It's fine. But it was way worse than the hurricane a few weeks prior. And it flooded everything in the school. So I just remember me and my, like, you know, friends and classmates and stuff just walking to class in, like, rain boots and stuff, because there was, like, 3 inches of rain everywhere, and
yeah,
it was just nuts. But, I don't know. Hurricanes, they're fun.
They are fun.
Not really, but, you know, sometimes. In a weird way, they are. That's Earth. That's the Earth Day.
That's where we live, yeah.
We live on the Earth. It's interesting. The Earth. Living on the Earth, don't you think?
It is. It's dangerous.
Don't you love the Earth? It's so weird and wild.
Do you know, like, do you know what we're saying about hurricanes right now? Like one of the most deadly storms in the universe, probably, is, like, trying to come and, like, kill you, and you're like, it's not that bad.
It's fun. I like hurricanes. They're cool. No, they're not. They're not. Yeah. They're cool, but they're dangerous, so stay safe out there. If you're going to get hit by this hurricane... I don't even remember what the name is. It's like Terry or something like that.
I think it's Harvey.
Harvey. If you're going to get hit by Hurricane Harvey, take precautions, stock up on food, and, you know, don't do anything stupid. Just chill. You'll be fine. Just don't go outside.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Earth is weird. Anything else? Any other Earth things we had to talk about today? No?
I don't think I had any Earth things to talk about.
Okay. Well, that concludes Earth Day discussion. Do you want to hear my weird news story that I picked out for us for this episode?
Yes.
It's really weird. So, I'm going to tell you the story, and then you're going to guess what country this is in. Okay. Robot is programmed to perform funeral rites. So, where do you think this country is, and what religion do you think this is for?
Alright, I'm gonna guess this is either Saudi Arabia.
And it costs 25% of a human priest.
Okay, so you get kind of a discount.
You get a little deal for this robot, yeah.
But it still, you know, hits all the check marks whatever your...
It hits all the check marks, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna say this is either in Dubai in Saudi Arabia or it's Japan.
It's Japan.
Okay.
it's Japan, and it's a Buddhist funeral rites.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's only 25%, or it's 25% less. I'm going to compare it right now. It costs about 50,000 yen, which is about 450 American dollars, compared to a real funeral human priest costs about 240,000 yen, or $2,200. So you're saving, like, 1,500 bucks at least.
It's basically the same. I mean, a human doesn't really add anything to that, does it?
And he has this cute little robot face.
Does he have robes or, like?
Oh yeah, he's wearing robes. He's wearing robes. That's great. He has like a drum stick in one hand to, like, beat the drum.
Okay.
And in the other, I think he has, like, an incense thing or something. It looks like he's holding, like, an incense candle or something.
Okay, so. I have to ask, like, what? Does the robot have a caretaker?
I don't know.
Or do you just, like, show up to this room and there's one there?
It does not specify whether or not.
And then the robot just starts going.
You, like, put in, like, money. Like, it's like a vending machine. You're like, here you go. And he's like, hello, welcome to the funeral of Joe Smith. The
dearly beloved or whatever. That's not the right
one. That's a wedding. But yes, yeah. He just, like, starts going off. Yeah, I don't know.
I have a mental image.
Yes.
Like, what if the robot, like, starts getting a little off course?
Like what? So, give me an example.
So the robot starts doing robot things and spinning around and beating the drum real fast and throwing incense.
He malfunctions. And you're like, oh no, this is a funeral. It's ruined. I hope he has a caretaker. Because if he didn't, then it could get out of hand, right?
Yeah, who's going to turn the robot?
Although, here's the problem. Here's the issue, okay?
Yeah.
Having a caretaker kind of defeats the purpose of having a robot.
Exactly. You may as well just have that man do the funeral rites.
Because you're paying money for a priest, a human priest, and then you're paying money for a human robot. If you need a dude to supervise the robot, you know he's going to want more money. You know what I mean? So I feel like he would need to be like an autonomous thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or maybe. Yeah, I don't know how their pricing or, you know, their workforce really works.
Well, yeah, it's made by SoftBank.
Okay.
Which is a company, obviously. He can chant and tap drums, and he can light incense, and he can, you know, read all the Buddhist literature and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
they have like an itemized menu where you check off all the moves that you want him to do?
Well, the moves. In the picture he's wearing an iPad, like around his neck.
Okay.
Like it's like a nice kind of, like, it's not tacky. He's like wearing an iPad. So yeah. I think there is maybe you select from like a menu of like funeral rites. You know, like, I want this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. You know, say something about that and then end or whatever. And maybe it's like ordering from a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Swipe your card.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, you can add this, but it's an extra $50. And you're like, okay. Yeah. You know, I want that. And they're like, all right, sure. And like, oh, you can double the chanting for like $99 or something. Yeah. You're like, okay, I want that too.
You can either choose from like four different pre-recorded messages, or you can, you know, specify your own for extra.
Oh, and that's more though. That's like $100.
Yeah, because then you have to get in the voice to text speech. And,
See, I feel like this is where they get you, right? They like,
yeah,
they advertise it as like, oh, it's $450. It's a lot cheaper. But then once you're putting it on the extras in, like, then it's like, okay, this is starting.
They really nickel and dime.
Yeah, they're starting to get $1,000 for this funeral. Like, damn, like, man, this is expensive.
And then you're thinking, you know, I could have just gotten a human priest, and it would have been much more reverent. There wouldn't be a weird robot.
Less awkward. Yeah. And all the people that come to this funeral wouldn't be like, what the hell is happening at this funeral?
Grandma wouldn't be sitting
there
like,
why is there a robot?
It's a robot.
Old people would be frightened at this, I feel like. Yes. They'd be like, oh, no, they're taking over. Did that robot murder the person that died? You know? Like, if Jim, rest his soul, died, and, like, his grandma shows up, he's like, did this robot murder my Jim, or something? Like, no, he didn't.
It's so sad.
It is. Would you want to be put to rest by a robot?
It makes no difference to me.
Really? You don't care?
I don't care at all, yeah.
Mm. I feel like it's, you know, some people might not want it to happen, and it could be very disrespectful of some.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know.
I think Japanese culture, there's like also a lot of respect for dead people and, you know,
sure,
like heritage and relatives and your elders and stuff.
I wouldn't want to be put to rest by a robot.
I'd be totally fine with it.
I would be not fine. I would prefer there'd be no, like, I would prefer, like, if they like couldn't afford a priest for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Just nothing. I would prefer that over a robot. You know what I mean? Like, don't mock my death with a robot, right? Yeah. Like, just leave it be and say a few words yourself.
Oh, we didn't want to spend the extra $400.
Like, okay, like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't afford a priest, just don't do anything. I don't need a robot. I don't need your pity. Like, robot seems like a pity thing. Like, oh, we don't have enough money, but this is a stopgap, and it's not ideal, but it's good enough.
He really liked computers.
That's how they would justify it, too. Like, he loved computers. Like, did I? Did I like computers? I guess I did.
Do you remember Chuck E. Cheese's? Those animals that would sing on stage?
Sure.
I mean, that's basically what's doing your funeral.
Yes.
It's no different.
Oh my god.
It's an animatronic mouse that has like bad eyes.
Oh my god, I just had a really good idea.
What's your good idea?
So I just read recently that Chuck E. Cheese is getting rid of those animatronic animals.
Oh no.
And they're replacing them with like human performers. But now you're gonna have a whole bunch of animatronic animals that are just kind of chilling out there. They're gonna have to sell. Probably collectors are gonna want them. But if you could bulk buy those things, we can have our own American robot funeral service.
That's a really good idea.
Isn't it, though?
You could get, like, Chucky and the mouse. Mm-hmm. Great for kids' funerals, because...
Oh, my God. That's great.
You know.
Holy shit.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. Great for kids' funerals. Oh, good Lord.
Yes. She loved Chuck E. Cheese, oh, so...
No. Stop. Stop.
I'm sorry, I need to stop this.
No, but you get Chuck E. Cheese, and he's the funeral director.
Yeah.
And you got the backing band there to play him out, you know?
Yeah.
To play out. Like, if the person that died really liked... Don't,
Hotel California.
What's the song they always play at Chuck E. Cheese? It's like...
I don't know.
It's like No Doubt. Don't speak. Yeah, that song. You know, don't speak.
Oh, da, da, yeah.
Da, 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 da. If they really like that song, the person, mm-hmm. then you just have the Chuck E. Cheese band play it, like at the end.
Yeah.
Like if I was like, oh, I want my last song. I don't know why I'd want my last song this, but if I want my last song to be Don't Speak by No Doubt, then the Chuck E. Cheese band is like, great, we got this. Like mm-hmm. Chucky will do his reading. And then the rest of the band, the mouse and the bear and all the other people, will just start doing Don't Speak, and then boom. Then, you know, you lay him to rest, and then boom, funeral, done.
Sir, and then pizza.
And then pizza. You could just convert all the Chuck E. Cheese's to a funeral home.
Yes.
Right? So it's like birthdays and funerals.
You could do both.
And then we make the Chuck E. Cheese slogan, celebrating life and death.
You can't say death, though. Maybe, like...
Life and afterlife.
All stages of life.
Oh, celebrating cradle to the grave.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese, cradle to the grave. Yeah, so that's where you go. For all your life, like, hallmarks... For all your, like, celebration needs, Chuck E. Cheese. Mm-hmm. Cradle of the Grave. I think it's a good idea.
It's no worse than Robot Funeral Man in Japan.
I mean, think about it this way. If you died and you wanted a funeral service, would you prefer this, like white, small, round robot that has these kind of creepy robotic eyes mm-hmm. do your funeral service? Or would you rather Chuck E. Cheese and company...
Yeah.
Perform it.
The whole ensemble.
Mm-hmm. The whole... And everyone's going to get pizza at the end of it.
Yes.
Right? So, which one did you do?
Obviously, Chuck E. Cheese.
And let's say they're the same price. They're both $450. You know. You would do the Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese, he can beat a drum, he can hold the incense, he can chant, and he can play music.
Yeah. So, it's like...
The feature set is way more diverse.
It's really no contest.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to email Chuck E. Cheese and be like... If your business is failing, which I think they're not doing super hot right now.
Yeah.
You know, just like do like a late night or early morning kind of business where they do funerals in the mornings. In the evenings, they could do like weddings too. You could just do all of them. All of them with the robots, right? Chuck E. Cheese can be like the priest for the wedding service too.
Yeah, I think people in our generation too, they really like, you know, like ironic stuff. And this is just the... I mean, they grew up with Chuck E. Cheese. They're going to be, you know, getting married and dying and having kids that have birthdays and doing all that stuff pretty soon.
So why not just do it all at Chuck E. Cheese? Just move all that to Chuck E. Cheese. Like, just make it the go-to place for everyone of all ages to go when they're celebrating something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And always pizza and always animatronic animals. Yeah. I mean,
you would play the same songs for a funeral.
For a birthday. It would just be No Doubt. That's the only song that they know is that Don't Speak song.
That's our song.
That's just all they play. If you wanted to play other ones, you have to pay like way more money. It's like $200 extra dollars. That's like the default for everything. Yeah. So like when you're doing the iPad selection or whatever, it's like Don't Speak by No Doubt will be the funeral like play you out song. Same for the wedding song, right? And it's like plus $0. It's like when you're building a computer, like plus $0. And then if you want like some other better songs, it's like 50, 60, 70 more dollars for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. I mean, you could have like public domain songs that maybe for $50.
Like Happy Birthday.
If you want a song that's, you know, like owned and has a copyright on it, you're paying top dollar for that.
You're paying top dollar for that, for sure. I think this is a great idea. I think this is where the future's going. You're gonna have robots performing ceremonies all the time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the other thing is like clowns, like magicians, they're expensive, right? For like a birthday party and stuff.
Yeah, they are.
Why not just go all the way with this? Get Chuck E. Cheese to do that stuff. You know? Like, they can figure out a way to, like, make them dexterous enough to perform magic and also be clowns. Right? I mean, I think.
Yes.
Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I don't think anyone would disagree.
I mean, I don't know how good of an idea that is. Okay, I think we've confused our listeners enough at this point.
Okay.
Do you want to do some Reddit now? Do we have any listener questions?
No, not this week, I don't think.
Those listeners, they're the worst. No, we actually like...
You guys are terrible.
You guys are good. Okay. What boring topics do you find interesting?
History is great. I don't know a lot about history, so whenever someone talks about history, it's really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think history is boring as well. But I agree it is interesting. I'm going to get more specific because history is obviously interesting. I think etymology, if I'm pronouncing that right, is interesting. Like people who, or not people, the origin of words.
Yeah.
Is really interesting. Like
etymology.
Etymology. Yeah. Thank you. What, like where a word came from, you know? And a lot of times it's
super
like,
interesting.
Based on a language, but it's also, like, usually they'll have, like, some weird stories about how it's, like, how it came to be. So those are the boring topics I'd find interesting.
You know what else is really interesting? What's like, that? Sometimes if I had a really stressful day at work, I'll come home, and there's a website where you can watch air traffic throughout the world.
Oh, yeah.
And it shows, like, airplane paths and, like, the type of airplane, and where it's going, and it's, you know, it's a velocity, it's knots.
Is this what you were watching when you're eating your chicken pot pie on a Sunday night?
No, I wasn't watching it that
That's
day.
That's the mental image I have. You in a dark apartment eating chicken pot pie,
watching
air traffic on your like MacBook Pro or something.
Listening to shortwave radio.
And you're like, I don't like this. I need a change. I just love that mental image that I have.
Yeah, there. So do I.
It's like, I don't like this. You snap at some point. You're like, this isn't fun. I don't want to do this anymore. I need to go on an adventure. What lost item do you want back the most? What item that you've lost do you want back the most? Do you have like something you lost once and you never know where it will be?
Yeah.
You sound depressed.
it's a depressing story.
Tell me. Oh, I love depressing stories.
I had a big stuffed... I mean, it wasn't... This isn't a real creature, but it was a stuffed, like, monitor lizard that was filled with rice.
Okay.
And I lost it at a hotel when I was pretty young, and I never found it.
Oh,
and I really wish I still had that lizard, because it was like, the coolest lizard.
It was like a stuffed animal kind of thing?
It wasn't like a normal stuffed animal because it was filled with rice and like pretty hard. Like if you hit someone with it, it would hurt bad.
Yeah, so it's like a firm thing.
Yeah, it was, and it would break a lot, and the rice would fall out. And you would have to like put the rice back in, and then sew it closed.
This sounds awful.
It was the great, I loved it.
You're like, I loved how the rice, I loved how it broke and the rice fell everywhere. It was the best toy I've ever had.
I mean, other stuffed animals, they're not like that.
It was so bad, but I loved it. Oh, yeah, I think I gotcha.
It was such a young age that I thought that the rice was like this stuffed lizard's like essence. It was
its life essence.
And if the rice fell out, it's like bleeding.
So you had to put it back dying. In. Yeah. So that was like your toy when you were a kid, huh?
Yeah.
This reminds me of a toy I had as a kid that I still have. I don't own
it. You know, Toy Story. Yeah. Andy has Woody.
Yes.
That was my Woody.
That was your Woody? Much.
Yeah.
So I had this toy growing up that was awful. It's still at my parents' house. It's this green Triceratops stuffed animal, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's about the size of, like, I don't know, like a football, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And it's green, and it's Triceratops. I know Triceratops aren't green, but it's green. And it's kind of made out of, like, a kind of vinyl-y kind of material, kind of like the material that, like, a windbreaker, like, is made out of, you know?
Not a comfortable material.
Like a running jacket, that kind of material. You know, that kind of, you know, it makes that kind of sound. And it has like a really dumb expression on its face. And the best thing about it is if you squeezed it, it had a voice box. And so you could squeeze it and let go. And as you let go, it would make the most horrific sound that I'll try to emulate right now. It's like,
I remember those. They go like,
yes, it sounds like it's dying, like, every time. It's like, it starts, like, sad, and then it gets, like, more high-pitched. It's like, and then it, like, kind of peters out. It's like,
I think I had one of those, too. Those were great.
And I loved that thing, and I squeezed it all the time, because when I was a kid, I, like, loved the sound for some reason. And my father, like, hated that thing so much. I think he, like, hid it in, like, my closet, and I never found... I didn't find it till I was, like, older, but I have fond memories of that thing. I didn't lose it. It's not something I lost, but I think I could go back to my parents' house and find it. But I just loved it so much. It was so stupid. Anyway.
That's great.
Here's a good one. What is the first dream you remember having?
I don't know. Do you have one?
Yeah. When I was like 6, this is the weirdest dream. I don't know why I remember this dream. When I was 6, I had a dream that I was in like a 3-dimensional Mario level. And I was with my dad in the dream. I don't know why, but I was. And we were, like, jumping on platforms, like, in Mario, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was, like, a vertical level, though. Like, not, like, a horizontal. Like, it wasn't, like, a side-scrolling level. It was, like, a horizontal. Like, you have to, like, jump up blocks to, like, get to the flag.
Was it one of those where the water's rising?
No, it was just a Mario level in 3D, but instead of a side-scrolling thing, you just had to jump up to the top instead. But, like, okay. The jumps were really far, and we were, like, humans. Like, I wasn't Mario or anything.
Yeah.
So it was, like, really hard, so we had to, like, climb up the blocks and stuff. You know, like, we couldn't jump like Mario does. But I remember thinking it was, like, the coolest thing when I was, like, 6 or however young I was when I had this dream. And there was, like, Goombas in it and, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't know why, but it's, like, the first memory. It's, like, the first memory I remember. Or not the first memory. The first dream I remember having. Which I guess makes sense because I was playing a lot of Mario when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah, when I was sounds like a good dream.
Yeah, it was a good dream.
At least, yeah.
When I was 6, I remember having a Super Nintendo, and I had like Super Mario World, and I also had Super Mario All-Stars, which was the collection of Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3 for NES. And I remember I would play that, and I wasn't super good at video games yet because I'm only 6, like 5 or 6 years old. Yeah. And I would get to, like, the boss, and then I'd, like, pass the controller to my dad and be like, oh, you have to beat it, because I'd be scared. And I'd hide under the coffee table. I remember doing this. I would hide under the coffee table, because I was afraid of the boss, and then he would try to, like, beat it for me.
Is it Bowser?
It was the bosses in, like, Super Mario World, so, like, the Koopa Kids, you know?
Pretty scary.
Yeah, I mean, they're scary when you're like 5 or 6. You're like, oh god, it's Ludwig. He's got crazy hair or whatever. And I remember doing that, and so that's probably where this dream kind of emerged from. Because like I played a lot of Mario, and my dad would like help me when I would be bad, and that's probably where that dream happened. Interesting note: my dad never played a video game ever again after that. But that was where I started to really like video games. That's like a looking back kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't remember any of my early dreams really.
Interesting. Now I'm thinking back like how I started liking video games, and like that's probably the first big moment.
My story would probably be my first console was an NES, and the first game I remember playing was Super Mario Brothers 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really good. But when like the real breakthrough console for me, where mm-hmm. I started to like love video games, was the Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a game called Earthworm Jim. You know this game.
Oh, I love Earthworm Jim.
Oh, it's a great game. And there's a level where you have to pilot a submarine mm-hmm. through like a rocky cavern.
I remember that level.
And it's basically impossible.
It's super hard.
Yeah.
I remember quitting at that level.
Yeah, sure. And me and my dad probably spent like 2 years trying to beat this level like one time.
And did you do it?
Yeah. I mean, eventually we could beat it, but yeah. It was never consistent, and it was always just like the most stressful thing ever.
Does Earthworm Jim saved your progress, though, so you don't have to do it again?
No.
Right? It didn't?
No, it doesn't.
Oh,
no.
Damn. So, like, you do it and be like, yeah, and then if you die later, you're like, well, that's that run.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
It's, like, one of the hardest video games I've ever played. Like, the first boss, if you don't, like, he's invincible unless you know the secret. And then the second level comes, and it's a maze, and you have to fly through the, you know, take the submarine through the rocky cavern.
That game was hard. That game was really hard.
It was way too hard.
There's a lot of, like, cheap deaths and stuff in that game.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sega Genesis, Sonic, you played a lot of Sonic when you were...
Yeah, I played a lot of Sonic. My first Sonic game was the first Sonic.
Uh-huh.
And Sonic I also had Sonic 2, which was probably my favorite game for a long time.
Mm-hmm. There's a new Sonic out that's like 2D.
Sonic Mania?
Yeah, did you see that? I have it on Switch. It's pretty good.
When I get a Switch, I'm going to buy it, but I don't have one yet.
I think it's on PC too, if you really want to do that. But that's... No. Doesn't that feel wrong?
No, I can't do that.
Doesn't that feel wrong? Like, I couldn't do it either. I was like, maybe I'll get it on Steam. I was like, no, that's wrong. I can't do it. I have to play it on a console. You know?
Yeah, what would I play it, like...
With a keyboard?
With a keyboard?
No, you can play it with an Xbox controller? You can play it with a controller. Yeah, I can't do that. Like, no, I have to have a controller. Ugh, it just feels wrong. But it's good. My issue with Sonic Mania is it's like... It's basically Sonic 3. Or, you know, 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. With, like, updated levels, like, the levels are new, and, like, some new cool, like, level mechanics and stuff, but all the other stuff about Sonic is basically the same. Like, he runs the same, he jumps the same, he dies in all the cheap ways he used to die in the original Sonic games, you know what I mean? So, like, they, like, updated all, like, the levels and stuff, but, like, all the things that annoyed me... about Sonic when I was a kid still annoy me because they didn't like they kept all that pure, you know, and the same, which is fine. I'm sure you will like it a lot, but me, I was like, I remember as a kid, you know on the water levels I'd drown all the time.
Yeah.
And then on the levels where there's all these moving platforms I'd get crushed all the time, right?
Yes.
And then where there's levels where there's like gaps you have to run across, I'd like run the wrong way all the time and fall to my death. And that happens all the time in Sonic Mania. And I was playing it like last week and I was like, this game's really fun. And then I got to a level where I just kept dying over and over by like drowning and getting crushed and falling, and I was like, I hate Sonic. But I just remembered how the old games were like exactly like that. But I mean, for better or worse, like I think for you it'll be for better because it'll like be exactly like what you remember. You know what I mean? So I think it's good though.
Part of enjoying Sonic when I was a kid was you would eventually memorize the levels because you couldn't save your progress.
Yes, that.
And once you know the levels and you get to like do that really fast run through the levels, like the it feels so good.
No, yeah, that's I definitely agree. I think that's the coolest thing. And Mania has some really cool levels, like they're really cool designed. My only thing is, like, I'm not a kid anymore, so, like, when I die, I'm like, I wish I could just beat this stupid level. But, like...
I don't want to play it a million times.
Yeah, I don't want to play it a million times. But when you're, like, 7, you're like, yeah, I'll play this level a million times and memorize it. What else am I going to do today, you know? So yeah. it's, like, perfect. But when I'm, like, I'm turning it on and I was like, I have an hour to burn, I'm like, I don't want to die ever. Just get me through the, you know. So there's that. I mean, I think you'll like it, though. But I agree. I think a lot of fun in Sonic is memorizing levels and then seeing how fast you can beat them and seeing, like, finding all the secret paths and stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know. All right. which subculture annoys you the most?
Most subcultures make me happy.
Do they?
Yeah. I'm okay with most of them. Do you have one that... I mean, Reddit...
the internet subculture.
Yeah, that one sucks.
I'm on Twitter all the time, but I hate the Twitter subculture, like, enormously. Well, I shouldn't say. Twitter's too big. I hate, like, the Twitter humor subculture. It's just, ugh, I just don't like it.
Yeah, I was reading a news article the other day, and it was like, you know, so-and-so politician did such-and-such, and Twitter did its usual thing, and it quoted, like, these three people, and apparently... Sure. That's they're like the representatives of Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter humor.
Like, that's weird. Like, Twitter's like a million people. Like,
yeah,
it's not just these three people. But I mean, it feels like that sometimes, right?
It does,
and that's annoying. It annoys me because I think a lot of Twitter is replication. Like, it's I was having this conversation with someone recently. To get popular on Twitter, you have to be funny or steal stuff from other funny people, right? Or you just follow trends to a T. And so, like, there's kind of this learned comedy, I guess you could say, where, like, people on Twitter recognize, like, oh, a lot of people thought this was funny, so I'm going to do something very similar in the exact same vein and put it out there, and everyone should theoretically also think I'm funny. So it's not really... and then, you know, people do. So it's not really encouraging, like, original thought that much as it's encouraging you to emulate someone that is famous on Twitter.
Yeah.
And replicate what they do.
Someone did a funny thing, so if I do it, I'll be funny.
Right. Or someone did a funny thing, so if I do something that is slightly different, but basically the same, I'll be funny and everyone will follow me. And that's generally been my experience with people on Twitter that are, you know... famous for humor or whatever, and it kind of infiltrates the rest of Twitter too, because everyone on Twitter, no matter who you are, wants to be Twitter famous, right? And so it eventually infiltrates everyone on Twitter, and they all start emulating this style of humor or this style of posting, such that they're like, oh, if I do this, more people will follow me. And it's kind of this vicious cycle that, like, okay, this is how to be famous on Twitter, and this is kind of the vocabulary and the inside jokes and the memes we use. And then if you don't use that, you're never going to be Twitter famous, which is fine, but, you know, you're never going to see those people because they're not retweeted. So it's like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I agree with you. Twitter's... I mean, I like the Twitter people that I follow.
No, me too.
There's lots of cute animals on Twitter, let me tell you.
Don't get me wrong. I like Twitter because the people I follow are people I generally like to follow and like and enjoy following. Yeah. But I'm just, you know, those people frequently still read... You still see stuff that you're like, ah, that's stupid. I don't care about that, you know. But you still see the Twitter as a whole.
And it's just the Twitter subculture is not a good one.
Neither is Reddit. I just think it's boring. It's kind of annoying and... It's up its own butt a lot. Like, it thinks things is way funnier than it is. I saw, like, a image recently. And, you know, people, like, are talking about something on Twitter, right? And then, you know, a lot of responses to Twitter is like, oh, my God, that's hilarious, you know, or LMAO, or I'm screaming with laughter or something. And then it shows, like, a picture of the person typing it. And they're, like, straight-faced typing it into their computer, which I feel like is everyone on Twitter, like, whenever they're laughing out loud. They're just like, you know, they have, like, no expression, and they're typing LMAO or whatever. It's like, okay, that's Twitter humor personified in my mind.
Yeah, they're mostly dead.
They're mostly dead. They're on Twitter all day. They're like, LOL, that's hilarious. And in reality, they're just like...
So think about... I mean, think about what Twitter must do to you. That's... Like, you open Twitter to get the stimulus, right? Hmm. Like, it's sort of like licking a battery.
Yeah.
Like you pull the battery out of your pocket, you lick it. You're like, ooh, that was... Mm. Got a little juice.
Got a little juice? Now I'm good.
For another 5 minutes.
Right. But a lot of people aren't good. They're like, oh, I need more now. It's definitely an addiction for some people.
And then, wouldn't that burn you out after a while? Like, you keep licking that battery, and
I think so.
It's going to make you tired.
I check Twitter a lot. I wouldn't say I'm addicted, but, I mean, yeah. it is definitely, it's like, oh, Twitter, what's happening on Twitter? But it's weird. It's like Facebook in the same way. Like, you check it hoping something great is going to happen, and it almost never does, right? Like,
you know what I find myself doing? Like, if I didn't get the right amount of Twitter juice in my system, I'll, like, keep refreshing it until something happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I need it to happen.
And I think the issue for me is, same with Facebook or any social media, really. You, at some point in your life as a user of Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you have some really cool thing happen, and you're like, this is great, I'm hearing this first, or I'm, like, in on this inside joke, and it's great, and it's funny, and I'm enjoying myself. And that's, like, really cool, and you're, like, really glad you're a part of that. And you thank Twitter because you were the first one, like, you were one of the first to experience that. You got on the ground floor. And so you're always looking for that. But those things come so rarely that... that you almost never, you know, you very rarely see them. But the experience was so good that you're always looking out for it again, like a similar thing. So that's why you're on Twitter all the time. You're like, oh, refresh, refresh, refresh. I wonder if something cool is going to happen. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, it's like nothing, nothing, nothing.
And you know what? If you don't refresh, 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 you might miss that cool thing.
You might miss it. And that's a big thing, especially, this is off topic, but I'm glad we're talking about this, especially in our, like, society today, our generation, is very obsessed, and I'm speaking about myself, of course, as well, with, like, being morbidly scared of missing out on some key piece of information or event that they, like, don't know what to do with their lives, in so much that they're like, okay, I can't do X, because if I do that, I might miss some other thing Y that's way cooler, you know?
Yeah.
And that is, like, a crazy terrible way to live your life. And I find myself doing that more than I would like to admit, you know, which is scary, right?
Yeah.
Do you do that at all?
Not really. I don't think I understand. I'm kind of weird, though.
Well, so it's like basically like, I'm trying to think of an example. Okay, so some like big news story breaks on Twitter, right? Let's say.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like a really big story and all your friends are talking about it. And if you were on Twitter at that time, you can talk about it, like, as it's happening with all your Twitter friends. And you're like, this is great. I'm glad I'm here, because if I wasn't here, I'd be doing something else. And by the time I'd get to the news story, it'd be, like, over, you know, and people would be not talking about it as much. Yeah. But now, let's say you're not on Twitter when it happens. You're, like, playing a video game, or you're, I don't know, out to dinner or something like that.
Eating a chicken pot pie.
Eating a chicken pot pie on your couch, watching the air traffic controller.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, you're not on Twitter, and you might be missing something. So the fear of missing out is what I mean. It's like, instead of doing those other things that are healthier to be doing, like eating or, you know, talking with your significant other or friend or working or anything, you're on Twitter because you're like, if I stop on Twitter, maybe I'll miss something really cool. And... you know, then I'll be sorry, you know.
Yeah. I don't really do that.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's very, very common in our generation. I know a lot of people who fear things like that. And not just Twitter, just, like, things in general. And I think the reason is because social media. And you, like, go on Facebook and you see all your friends doing all these fun things. Mm-hmm. You're like, if I'm not on Facebook all the time, and my friend's like, hey, I'm having a really last-minute, short-notice eclipse party at my house with free music, free drinks, and Bon Jovi's going to be there. Like, yeah. And you're not on Facebook that 1 second, you're going to miss that free eclipse Bon Jovi party because you're going to be playing Diablo 2 on your computer or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I don't want to do that because maybe there'll be a free Eclipse Bon Jovi party at my best friend's house. Like, I don't know. So that's my explanation of that.
I really like to be, you know, part of stuff. I'm just like anyone else, but, you know.
You have to draw the line somewhere. You have to be like, okay, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If I, like, seek it out, it's never, it's like watching a pot, it's like watching a pot boil, right?
Yeah.
But social media exacerbates it, because people are like, I'll just stalk this until something cool happens, and then I'll jump on it. And it's like, okay, that's great, but something cool happens every, you know, 3 months or something, so it's like, you're gonna be sitting on, like, you're gonna waste 3 months of your life just sitting on your computer, or sitting on your phone. Anyway, this is a depressing topic.
I'm sorry.
It's interesting that you don't really experience that, which is good.
No, I don't.
It's good, though. It's very good. I'm jealous, because you're kind of unplugged from social media, which is a very,
yeah, almost,
very good
almost thing. Totally.
It's a very good thing, and I wish I was also unplugged.
Like, for example, like, a lot of, like, cool things like that don't really happen a lot, I guess, around me. Mm. Like, something cool that happens is... an event on the air traffic controller. Like, that's a good
thing. Like, look at that blip. Wow, look at that one. That's nuts. Or your pot pie had, like, an extra piece of chicken in it or something. You're like, yeah.
It's the little things.
It's, yeah, you gotta calibrate, right?
Or like, ooh, the public library has that new Anne Rice book. I'm gonna rent that.
Sure. No, I gotcha.
And I did today.
I mean, to be fair, I've never been to Eclipse Bon Jovi party. Either, but...
It sounds great.
You never know, right?
Yeah.
You never know.
Your friend Jim might just, you know...
Bon Jovi might be his uncle, and you don't know that, right? You never know.
So, this kind of ties into a business idea that I have, and, okay. Like, the idea I have relates specifically to competitive video games, but I guess it could apply to this as well.
Let's hear it.
Is there's a total lack of, like, schedules in the world right now for when content is going to happen.
That is very true.
Like, you need to just be plugged in 100% of the time, or you'll miss everything.
Yeah, you will.
And if there was just some subscribed calendar service where, you know, all the cool content was on the calendar, and you open up your phone and you're like, what's cool that's happening right now?
Right now, yeah.
And then it tells you, blah, blah, blah.
What are you talking about content? Like, describe that. Is that, you mean like a new TV show, or do you mean like something happening in the real world, or like both?
Both. Anything cool that you consume.
So anything cool that's like on a schedule.
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, you can't really have like ad hoc stuff on there. But,
no, I know.
I mean, you could have alerts. You could have, like, by the way, cool, unexpected thing is happening.
I think the internet is bad at telling people there's cool stuff happening. Like, yeah. It's good at it if you're looking for it, but it's really bad at it if you're not. Like, if you're just sitting there waiting for something, waiting for you to get an alert, be like, hey, this thing's cool, do you want to go to that? And you're like, yeah, I want to do that, that sounds awesome. That never works. If you're literally, like, if you go on your computer and, like, is there something cool happening Saturday at 9 p.m., you can find that out. But, like, it's very hard to see, like, at a glance, like, yeah. Is there anything cool happening in the immediate horizon? And I think the internet is terrible at that.
Yeah, it's real bad. You have to kind of be in on, like, a private dialogue in order to know when things are coming.
Which is interesting, because I can't speak for how people lived previously, because I'm kind of on the cusp of the internet generation anyway, but I feel like in the past, people would just gather at social places, and there'd be things on the wall, and, like, there'd be indicators that cool shit is coming up, yeah. Like, via, like, posters or, like, you know, slips of paper or, like, word of mouth. You know, that stuff would just come to you. It'd be advertised at you, you know what I mean? Whereas today you have to, like, go out and find it because there's many things.
You gotta find it yourself.
Yeah, you, like, have to seek for it, which is kind of nuts. In the old days, it'd either be, like, you watch TV and it's, like, in your face, like, here's the thing that's happening, or you go to a bar and it's, like, here's the thing that's happening, like, on the wall or from someone you know. But, yeah, today it's, like, is there anything happening? I'm on my computer. Yes, there is something happening. Oh, that happened 2 hours ago and I missed it. You know.
Yeah. As an example, there's a yearly Dota tournament. Dota is Defense of the Ancients. It's a competitive video game. Mm-hmm. This tournament was a $30 million prize pool tournament. Mm-hmm. And the only official schedule was the days it was happening on Valve's website. They didn't give anything else. They relied on the community to talk about specific matches and that were happening.
And if you weren't plugged into the community, you would have no idea what's going on.
No, you wouldn't know at all.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
It blows my mind. Like, they just have a schedule. What are you doing? Like,
it's nuts. The internet needs to figure out a way to, like, in your face, tell you shit that is interesting or that you might want to know about. Because it's so bad that you literally have to, like, jump through hoops to be like, hey, is there anything happening? Like, a good example, like, music, right? You're like, oh music is, there's a band I like. Let me see if they toured. And it's like, oh, yeah, they came here last week. Like, whoops.
An example, Nick Cage and the Bad Seeds recently toured in America.
Great band. They did?
They were here, like, a few months ago.
I didn't even know that.
And now he's never coming back.
And you're like, you missed it.
Like, I would have loved to have seen Nick Cave in the Bad Seeds.
I know, me too. But
no.
That's crazy. because you didn't go out and specifically Google Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds American tour, right? Yeah. Because
I was just listening to his music one night and I was like, I wonder if he still tours.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, you literally have to, like, find it yourself. And if you don't know the proper terms to, like, put into Google to find it, too bad. You won't find it. That's so stupid.
Yeah. Made me mad. He probably came to Austin too, you know. This was in September.
Yeah, he probably did. I probably missed it. Yes! But we need a better system. I don't know how, but somehow. I think another thing is people don't watch TV anymore. So, like, advertising, like, it doesn't work the same way. Because, like, before, if something's happening, it's like, you know, you'd see, you're watching a show, and you'd be like, Nick Cave's the Bad Seeds is coming to Austin. It's like, cool. But now you don't do that, so it's like, well, the only place you're going to know is, like, through word of mouth, or if you literally Google, hey, is Nick Cave the Bad Seeds coming to Austin? Yes, he is, you know, or whatever.
It's
the worst. We need to figure it out. We'll come up with it, and then we'll be like the new Google. Because this, I'm certain this is like the next big.
Yeah, there's a massive market for
this. This is the next big step, because people don't want to rely on hunkering down in small communities waiting for shit to be posted.
Yeah.
Because that's too much effort.
Yeah, and people, you know, people these days, they have very diverse interests.
Yeah.
They're part of, like, a million different little tiny subcultures. Right.
And they want to know when all the shit's happening at once.
Yeah, or at least the big stuff.
Or the big stuff.
Like, and if Nick Cave.
Yeah. And if you're just on, like, the Dota forums, like, oh, I wonder when the next tournament is. And you're just camping that out for the next cool thing, you're never going to find other cool things that are happening in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Because you're on the internet. And as good as the internet is, it's only as good as you as, like, a search. Like, it's only as good as your search query, right?
Yeah.
Like, shit coming to you is something that the internet does not know how to do yet. And I don't know if it ever will, but maybe one day. That's artificial intelligence right there. Hopefully. All right, you want to move on to another question, or do we want to do trivia?
Let's do one more.
We have time for one more. I need to find a good one. Oh, man, this is so hard. There's a lot of good ones. You want to do an advice question?
Sure.
No, that's a bad question. That's a bad question, too. Okay. If someone were to say to you, give me a summary of your movie taste in three movies, which movies would you pick? Three movies that kind of summarize your taste in movies.
Battle Royale.
That's good.
Big Trouble in Little China, maybe. Mm. Like, it's not my favorite movie, but it sums up my taste pretty well.
Yeah, I gotcha. Like, that campy action.
Yeah.
It's a great movie, by the way.
Maybe The Thing? That's like
two JC movies.
No. I don't know. Help me out here.
That's fine. The Thing is good. I like that.
Our tastes are really similar.
Did you watch Prince of Darkness yet? Because you need to.
Yeah, that was really good.
You did? You saw it?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
It was really good. I love the atmosphere.
You loved that. You loved it, so you did like it. Okay.
I like that. Okay, so it's hard to do a devil film well.
It's really hard to do. I've almost never seen one.
Yeah. Except like, that one. Anthony Hopkins was in a devil movie recently, and it was really just an excuse for him to say, like, our father in Latin, like, over and over. Like, and it was
Dominus,
really boring,
whatever.
Yeah, sure. Dominus, Ibn Filius, Spiritus Sancti, whatever.
Yeah. But you.
No, that movie was great.
You liked it? Yeah, I love the atmosphere in the movie. It's so cool. I also really like the end of that movie with the mirror. That shit was sweet. I don't know why I like that part so much.
Oh, and yeah, that movie kind of took me back. It had like real special effects.
Yes,
like,
it was all practical.
Real bugs and goo.
Yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, it was. It's a weird movie because like not a whole lot happens, but like there's a lot going on that like kind of makes your brain like develop things. And I don't know. I think like you said, I think the atmosphere is what makes the movie so cool because it's like this dreadful thing. Anyway, I'm glad you liked The Prince of Darkness. So you would say The Thing,
No, trouble. Right, I need to redo.
Well,
right,
I'll do mine. Okay.
Do yours,
I'll do mine. Mine would be Blade Runner. Yeah, I'm going to have two Harrison Ford movies, but that's fine. Blade Runner, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think those are like two action movies, but they're very different, so they kind of sum it up. And then I need to pick a comedy, and I don't want comedy to pick. Maybe I'd go with, like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, or something like that. Something really goofy. Or, like, some Wes Anderson movie. No, I'll go with Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, yeah.
All right, I think I've got it. I will go with Battle Royale, The Big Lebowski.
Ooh.
And what's a good action movie?
Die Hard.
Terminator. Jackie Chan.
Oh, okay. That's very eclectic taste of movies. I think that's a good. That paints a good picture.
No, A Scanner Darkly, maybe.
Ooh, that's a good. That's a good pick too.
I don't know. I like weird movies and comedy movies.
The Big Lebowski's a good movie. I saw The Big Lebowski over the weekend.
It's a good movie.
I was at a Coen Brothers film marathon. I forgot to tell this. Yeah, I saw that. I was on Sunday. It was five Coen Brothers films all in a row. And it was fun, but it was like 12 hours of movies right there. Yeah. So it's a little exhausting. But they played No Country for Old Men, which is really good. They played The Hudsucker Proxy, which is a very underrated movie about the invention of the hula hoop. And then they did The Man Who Wasn't There, The Big Lebowski, and then Inside Llewyn Davis. It was a good marathon. It's interesting because their movies are so diverse.
Yeah,
like they made a bunch of movies, and they make comedies, action, drama, whatever. But anyway, The Big Lebowski's a super funny movie. And I feel like it gets funnier every time I watch it, too, which is the hallmark of a good comedy.
I really like the premise. It's
it's weird.
It's the dude versus nihilists.
And like a big rich guy who actually isn't that rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good premise. It's a really good premise. It's almost like, this is going to be interesting because you just picked a Philip K. Dick-based movie, and I did as well. It's almost like if Philip K. Dick wrote a comedy that isn't science fiction.
Yeah, it sort of is.
Right? Because it has a bunch of weird ideas that don't really make sense together, but they make them work somehow.
Yeah, it's philosophical, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like if he wrote like a comedy without science fiction, it would be very similar because it's a bunch of disparate ideas that don't really make sense together, but hey, they make sense to him, and they work, and let's just make that a movie. Why not? And
there we go. Have that theme of, like, kind of like a little bit of drug subculture.
Yep. And, like, a little, like, weird, like, philosophy, like, nihilism. And then you got,
You got Americana. You got your bowling and your...
Yeah, exactly. You got all this weird... Yeah. You got, like, the California thing. Like, everyone's, you know, rich or poor, but acts rich anyway, and, you know, that whole thing. Anyway, all right, so we should probably do trivia now.
Sounds good.
All right. Oh, it's your turn. I was about to, like, give you the trivia.
Oh, no, questions. I have to do trivia. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Your turn. No, it's fine.
Here we go.
I'll do the trivia time with Time Aces and Bat Snacks.
Trivia time.
All right, I'm ready.
Your first question. All right, I guess I have to ask you for lifelines. Search engines, Monty Hall, or Phone a Friend or Rhyme Time or
I'll do 40 Second Ask, Monty Hall, and Phone a Friend.
Okay. Your first question is, cynophobia is the fear of what? Is it A, cats, B, dogs, C, birds, or D, being frozen alive.
Can you spell that?
C-Y-N-O phobia.
C-Y-N-O, okay. So that sounds frozen-y to me, because I think cryogenics or something. I don't know why. No, this is going to be wrong, isn't it? I just feel like it. I don't know why, but once you said it was C-N-O, C-Y-N-O, I was like, freezing. I don't know why. It just sounds freezy. Maybe I'm just wrong about that. I'm going to just wing it, though, right?
Okay.
I'm going to go being frozen alive, final answer.
Being frozen alive is incorrect.
Damn it. It was birds, wasn't it?
Do you know why I chose being frozen alive? Because no. I thought it sounded freezy.
You did think yeah. It was... Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Why did you think it sounded freezy? Because, like, cryogenics,
I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
The correct answer is dogs.
Cyanophobia, okay.
Huh. Yes. Cyanophobia.
I thought that'd be, like, caninophobia. Oh.
Yeah.
I see. Damn it!
Dogophobia.
Yeah. Something more obvious. All right, yeah. Next one.
Next question is, name the only two states to have record high temperatures no greater than 100 degrees. So two United States do not have highs higher than 100 degrees. Okay. Is it A, Alaska and Michigan? B, Alaska and New York? C, Alaska and Ohio? Or D, Alaska and Hawaii?
Damn. I mean, I knew Alaska was in there. I was hoping that would help me a little more. If I, like, oh, it's the ones only with Alaska in it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Alaska and Hawaii. I feel like Hawaii's definitely been over 100 degrees. I'm leaning towards... So it was Ohio, New York, and Michigan, right? The other ones?
And Hawaii, yeah.
And Hawaii, sure. That's not real, though. But, okay. I feel like Ohio has probably hit 100 in, like, the south. I'm leaning towards Michigan or New York. I feel like New York has, like, had a heat wave where they probably got into the, like, lower 100s. Okay. And Michigan is known for being, like, really damn cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I might just go with Michigan. I had three lifelines, though. I feel like I should use them.
Final answer, Michigan?
Let's do Monty Hall.
Okay.
It's Monty Hall. I'll lock in the Hawaii, Alaska one.
Okay.
Lock in that one.
The answer is either A, Alaska and Michigan, or D, Alaska and Hawaii.
Easy. I'm going with Alaska and Michigan, then. Final answer.
Alaska and Michigan is incorrect.
What? No, it's not. Are you kidding me?
The correct answer is Alaska and Hawaii.
What the? What? That doesn't make any sense. Are you telling me Hawaii has never been over 100 degrees?
That's what the website says.
This is wrong. This is a lie. This is what? Oh, I thought it's tropical. It's supposed to be hot down there.
I don't know.
What the hell?
So you're not doing so well.
I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. No. Anyway.
I like how my Monty Hall did absolutely nothing. It was like, yeah. It just made me more sure it was Alaska. It was like, yep, definitely Alaska and Michigan then.
Yeah, I picked Michigan because I thought that you would definitely pick that one.
You're evil. All right.
Final question. For every human in the world, there are blank ants.
Okay.
Is it A, 100,000, B, 1,000,000, C, 10,000,000?
Wow.
D, 100,000,000.
Holy moly. That's a lot of ants any way you slice that, right?
There's a lot of ants.
It's a lot of ants. Okay, I'm going to 40secondask.com.
Okay. You can use all three of your lifelines if you want.
Oh, I might. Maybe I will. All right, I'm going to go ask. You ready?
Okay, yes.
.com. Here we
40
go.
40 seconds begin now.
Okay. For every human, there are how many ants? Is that the question?
Yes.
For every human, there are how many ants? Ask.com is taking a long time to load. Oh my god, this is a long fucking article. Can you please get to the point, dude?
Ants are part of the biological family.
And that's what it says. Like, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to the answer to the question in 20 minutes after we explain everything about ants. Okay, was 1,000,000 on there?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I'm going to go with 1 million ants, final answer.
1 million ants is correct.
Yeah! Damn, that's a lot of ants.
That's a lot of ants.
Holy man. So there are... How many people in the world? 700 billion
ants.
700 billion... No, more than that.
700... Fuck.
7 million billion.
7 million billion...
ants. I don't know what 7 million billion is, but...
A trillion? 7 million?
7 trillion billion. Ants? All right, let's put this in Google. What is a million times a billion? A million times a billion is 1E plus 15.
So okay.
There you go.
That many.
1E plus 15 ants, everyone.
7E plus 15.
What?
7E oh, plus
sorry, 7E yeah. plus 15, yes.
Yeah.
So that's how many ants there are in the world, 7E
There's plus not 15. Even a word for it.
I think there is, but anyway. Wow, that's a lot of damn ants. Okay, do you want to do one more question before we wrap up the show?
Sure.
Okay. All right, let's do this one. This was the advice one that I thought of. So this person is, I'm going Yahoo Answers this time. We're doing the family and relationships. We're doing a singles and dating question.
Really going into the weeds on this
one. We're going in the weeds on this one. Okay, this person asks if this is too much of an age difference. They are 22 years old, female, and the guy that they like is 29. Is that too much of an age difference? Let's give our advice. Is it? To you?
Probably.
Why do you say that?
I think there's a huge difference between a single 22-year-old and a single 29-year-old.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
But... this is an interesting topic, actually, now that I think about it. Because I feel like that age difference makes little difference. Like, the further they both age, it makes less and less of a difference.
That's true, yeah.
Like, if... like, okay, so that's a, what, 7 years difference? So, like, if the girl was 30 and the guy was 37, it'd be like, whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, so you're saying because she's 22, the guy's 29. Because 22 is really young. I was, like, a kid at 22. You know? And I'm 29 right now. And I'm less of a kid. Right?
I don't know. It's probably not too much of an age difference. I just don't think I would.
That's pretty... it's a big difference. It's a generation... it's almost a generational difference. Like, did you remember Strong Bad? Like, who? Like, no. You don't know who that is. You know, or whatever. I don't know why I thought Strong Bad is my example.
Homestar Runner. They wouldn't know who that
they
is.
They wouldn't know. And I'd be
and
like,
that's
I can't.
The problem.
I can't be with someone who doesn't know about Homestar Runner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't be with someone who doesn't know about when something crashes at work and I say the system is down. If they don't get that reference, then that's it. That's all. That's all she wrote. Yeah, but I think 7 years is not that long when you're older. But yeah, 22 is... I don't know. That's rough.
It's because at 30, you're supposed to, like... like, to know stuff. Like, actually have plans.
For your life, you mean?
For your life.
How you doing on that front, by the way?
I'm doing fine.
With that? Okay.
Not in the relationship department, but everything else.
No, I mean in the 30 plans department.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm not worried about that.
Okay, just asking.
But I would not, for that reason, I would be very skeptical about a 22-year-old because I don't expect them to have plans.
They're shit together at all. They're just living in the moment.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they got.
If I ask a 22-year-old their plans, I don't expect them to be the same when they're 29.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Whereas my plans, I'm pretty sure they're not going to change in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, this is a depressing conversation.
Not really. I mean...
well, at 22, you're like, the world is my oyster. I can do whatever I want. And also, at 22, you're like, I have all the time in the world. Right? Like, I don't need to rush because I have all the time. And then, like, 7 years pass, and you're like, shit. What did I do with my life for 7 years? And you're like, oh, yeah, I did nothing. Sorry, I'm ruminating, that's all.
It's okay.
You're handling aging a lot better than me, I feel like.
I think I am, yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing? I mean, to be fair, my life is fine. I enjoy my life. I have a lot of good stuff going on.
You're doing great, yeah.
I own a house. I'm married. I have a decent job. Everything's going great.
You're happy enough, right?
Yeah. But there's just all this, like,
that's all that matters.
Inkling in the back of your head that you're like, man, I remember when I was 22, 23, right out of college, fresh out of college, you know, being like, oh, man, so much I could do, but I don't need to do it right now. I have so much time. I'll just chill and have fun and blah, blah, blah. And then where did all that time go? I don't know, but it's gone. And now I'm like, oh, man. 30 is when you're supposed to, like you said, you're supposed to know what's going on. And I'm like, do I know what's going on? Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes and no. That's the final words that we should leave with our listeners today on the Time Bet Show.
Sounds good.
I've been your host. This is a really sad, depressing way to go out. That's fine. I've been your host, Time Ace.
We need like the sad piano playing.
Like a trombone or something.
Not a trombone. That's more like comedy.
I can change the music, the outro, to like a minor key or something. And it can be like... Yeah. I've been your host, Time Aces.
And I've been Dan.
Good night, everyone. Have a great night. Drive safe.
Drive safe. Bye. Be safe out there.